Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello there. Welcome to The Match Ball. Dan, Michael, and Moscow here, back after a little week's rest. The podcast is brought to you with Levi Solicitors. Forgotten how to do it now. Brought to you with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Isn't it nice that we can come in here and be obnoxious about another team for once? Because that's what we're going to do.
Yep, perfect.
An awful football team, an awful club, an awful manager. Everybody is awful.
We've already done a bit of off mic victim blaming, haven't we, with Maxwell Cornet, saying basically what's he going to expect? People are going to throw stuff, don't do that.
If Daphne and Celeste...
Not dancing now, are you, you little wanker?
If Daphne and Celeste can tolerate bottles of liquid being thrown at them at the Leeds Festival at some point, I don't see why this isn't absolutely fine.
It was Matthew Loughton who took it to the face.
Right.
And then it was...
Is he the Daphne or the Celeste of this group?
Well, he seemed happy to stay up and carry on, but one of his teammates... if I was reading the body language correctly, spotted it happening and then was like, you need, go down, let's make a big deal out of this.
That's what's in the manual, isn't it, for Burnley? They'll go down at every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Did they realise you can't have the crowd sent off?
I mean, I don't know what they think is going to be the net result of making a big deal out of it. I mean, nobody should throw things at footballers. But this isn't celebrating the win, is it? But this is, I don't know.
Let's get it out of the way.
I don't know anything about Maxwell Cornet. He signed for Burnley at the end of the transfer window. Why did he need to celebrate in such an obnoxious... If we'd been singing songs about him all game, going, you know, Maxwell Cornet's this and that, fine, there may be a reason for it.
He didn't come on until half-time, sorry.
Exactly, so he'd been on the pitch 5 minutes. Nobody's ever heard of him before. He's looked quite good on Match of the Day and stuff. And then all that's going on. So of course people are going to... Well, I don't know who he is, but I'm going to throw something at him.
seriously, because people are going to go, you can't do that. Of course you can't do that. Don't throw things. But also, it is in the face of provocation, so it's not...
And also, if there was a corner where people would throw stuff at me and a corner where they wouldn't throw stuff at me, I'd go to go to the non-throwy corner or just celebrate somewhere in the middle where the things people throw are definitely not going to reach.
Who was the last person that was celebrating?
Martinelli did it, didn't he, for Arsenal?
Yes. And again, he's not somebody we've ever had a problem with. He's just some kid who's come through the youth team at Arsenal. Everything's fine. Nobody's got a problem. Suddenly he's giving it the big everything in that same corner. I don't know if the people are planning it or whatever, but if they stop it, we'll stop it.
We are broadcasting live on YouTube for our TSB Plus subscribers. If you are listening or watching after the event, we're just diving through the comments right now. And if you're going to choose a handle on YouTube, can you please make it easy to read out? Because this is Googlop PQQ. That's not user-friendly, is it? But anyway, thank you for the update. Just say that the bottle was over half full. And assuming that it was bought in Elland Road, that's about £2 worth of pop.
That's the real issue here.
Yeah, that's the real question.
Let's talk about the game anyway, because that was also
we won.
We did win.
Julie's just picking you up on your comments saying nobody's ever heard of him because he was heavily linked to us before Firpo came, which is true.
That is true.
Well, yeah, but not heard of him in a way that you'd think, oh, I really don't like that Maxwell Cornet guy, and I bet he's got a problem with us. Mm. There's never...
Brass, didn't he?
If I'd seen him in the street before this game, I would brass. Have shook his hand and would have volunteered to be his friend, because I don't imagine he's got any, because as it turns out, he's a knob.
Dan's trying to make a brass instrument joke.
Hey, have you seen this, by the way? I got a present today. It's a purple bracelet. It says the word Burnley on it. I think I might keep this forever. You know, in that way that you do when you go to festivals, actually, speaking about festivals, you might keep them on forever just to show your mates that you've been. I might keep this on forever.
I think if you arrived with about 15 minutes to kick off, you didn't get one of those.
Yeah.
The COVID checks were very stringent up till about then.
Well, COVID, it stops at quarter two, doesn't it? They're not bothered about it anymore.
My tunnel was full of it.
Was it really? Your tunnel was full of COVID?
It really was.
How did it get there? Who put it there?
Well, they'd managed to put the only...
Who did you let in?
The only enclosed space outside Elland Road, they'd managed to make that the bit where everyone would have to stand to queue to get through. And then eventually they did move them on.
Right.
the first time this season we've scored three goals.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah, I like that. Speaking of Firpo, let's start on him because I thought he was excellent today. I think he's one of a few candidates for man of the match, probably. Like, he was very, very good indeed.
Yeah, that whole defence I thought was good.
Cock-marshalled Wood. God, there's a pun in there somewhere, isn't there? Cock-marshalled Wood really, really well in the first half, I thought, and then Wood seemed to go on to Ayling for the second half.
And bear in mind as well, the referee didn't seem to notice every single time Chris Wood shoved someone as the ball was played long to him. He just was constantly like either nudging people with his elbows or digging his arse in, and the ref never gave a free kick, which I think actually is what led to their goal. I don't know if Little Telly cast any light on it, but it looked like we should have had a free kick and then it broke as a result of not getting his free kick, and then Llorente did, I mean, he did foul Cornet, didn't he, after that? But
you've gone a long way back. No, than I can remember.
My mate saw it and said he didn't foul him. It was 50-50 at
worst. It didn't look...
Well, Llorente's one.
Yeah. Mm. From their goal.
Mm.
Let's just assume, based on...
I thought Llorente knew he got the wrong side and thought, I'm going to have to...
Yeah, but my mate watched it on telly, a big telly, not like Moscow's little telly, and he said it was 50-50. So I'm prepared to accept that anecdotal evidence as a comprehensive sign that it was wrong. It was wrong and we were hard done to.
I think there were worse fouls were not given free kicks for in the game. That was the thing that... It was Paul Tierney. He was a bit... Couldn't make his mind up about what was a foul and what was a yellow card and what was and what wasn't. I don't like it when it's like that. There was never a clear indication of what was going to happen. And Tyler Roberts won the ball, so he shouldn't have been booked either.
Mm. That did look harsh, actually.
And that's both the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. So Tyler, credit to him for actually taking two for the team, because it seems like every game we're going to lose a couple. And Roberts was suspended for the yellow.
Get the injury out of the way.
I think he's taken the injury on behalf of somebody else. Mm. Somebody was due to get injured, but I think Llorente is suspended for the next game as well, which is a bit annoying, which is why that whole Burnley equaliser was a really annoying thing, because they'd gone two up front and that let them back into it a bit, and putting a winger through the middle as well. Cornet's not a striker. And then pissy free kick and a yellow card and a suspension and an equaliser. All of it was just rubbish. So, but there was only really that part that we weren't brilliant. So that was good.
They didn't create any chances particularly, did they?
No.
That was the thing. We were, I'm trying to think of the ball. Tyler Roberts did miss that header, which was probably his best chance, where he put it back. He put it back across goal, did the right thing, but it went about a yard wide. But yeah, we created by far the better chances.
We had 12 shots in the first half. I think they had one, maybe two.
That feels like dominance to me.
Did they seem less Burnley-ish?
No, I thought they were quite Burnley-ish. I thought they were less physical, I thought, but their tactics in terms of what they were doing. I mean, like every time Taylor got it, I mean, being asked in the comments, did we join in with the abuse of Taylor and Wood? Did you?
Correct, yes.
Yeah, good.
It was a really nice bit actually when in the first half, because I think it was one of the corners we nearly scored from, in fact. There was a bit of a scramble after it, but Charlie Taylor was trying to appeal for it and he got a real, like, sort of thing, it's hard to coordinate if it's not, doesn't happen naturally, but he sort of appealed and everyone went, fuck off! And like leaned in from the cop, and it was such a lovely United moment.
I didn't see it myself, but the when Rafinha missed that open goal, it was Charlie Taylor sliding in. I think he smashed his face into the post. That was good as well. And then Rafinha lined him up at the end in stoppage time and started just waving his leg about, like, you know, we're 3-1 up. You know, again. I think Rafinha probably, you know, we know we had Tim Krul in his notebook. So if I'm sure he'll know every misdeed of Charlie Taylor that
was
has
it,
ever
was
been.
Was it Wigan away he didn't play at or something?
It was, yeah.
And then some match reports that he's dug out of that.
Chris Wood, of course, had the, cried off at Sunderland when he wanted to go to Burnley, and that was when Thomas Christian said, these are my players and for them I will die. Nobody, and you'll notice Aaron Lennon, everybody's like, good lad, nice to see you. Hope you're well.
To answer your question, Michael, because I started off and then went on a tangent. Yes, I thought they were very Burnley-ish in terms of how they played. And I was going to say, Charlie Taylor kept picking it up, but then you automatically knew he was just looking for the hoof forward. Mm. There was never any attempt to sort of play it through midfield or whatever. So I thought in that respect, they were quite Burnley-ish.
It was a bit semi-skimmed Burnley, though.
Yeah, they were less physical, weren't they? They weren't up to the diving in antics. Who was the knobhead who hurt Dallas in the first fixture?
Barnes. He didn't play.
Mm. Right.
He is, in fairness, probably the chief knobhead.
Mm.
So, Tarkowski he got booked, didn't he, actually, for fouling Firpo, I think, on the left wing.
Yes.
But he's also going to leave at the end of the season, so he's probably trying to just de-Burnley himself a little bit to make himself more appealing in the transfer market, because you can't be full Burnley, can you, a good move.
The good thing about it, I know we had the setback with the free kick, but conceding from a direct free kick is better than just like letting in seven from open play. Nothing Burnley did really worked.
We were chatting about this outside just before you came, actually, Moscow, and we were saying, I was actually quite pleased that we were playing a known quantity in Burnley because we knew exactly what we were going to get from them in that it would be the long punts forward looking for knockdowns. And we know how we have to deal with that. It's get your, you know, win your headers and then pick up the second balls. And it's not Martin Odegaard dropping into yards of space or Kevin De Bruyne passing through you for fun.
Yeah, playing
which is dispiriting.
Playing not such good footballers is loads nicer to watch.
And so taking it to the point where Sean Dyche is just on the sidelines and he's got nothing left. Nothing he could do after 2-1 really was there.
How does he feel about this? So we haven't got his comments in yet, but we'll do those as soon as we can, Michael. I just wondered if we'd heard from...
Fans of bloody foreign lads at Leeds have done it. It's cheating. I mean, foreign lads like James and Dallas.
Cornet is a foreign lad.
Well, is he? He only signs people who sign foreign but are actually English, doesn't he? Like Rodriguez and Tarkowski. He's like, is he from Manchester area, sort of area? Okay, we'll have him. I can only imagine Cornet's had to dig up some sort of... He's got a grandparent from Rochdale or something and he's been allowed in.
Well, Maxwell will remind him of Maxwell House. Good old, like,
his
crap coffee.
Yeah.
Dyche has actually said... There is one quote going out from him that says... He says...
Well, send it on our internal messaging so Dyche can read it.
Tell you what.
He's just going to hand me the laptop instead.
There we go.
Read that, knobhead.
Dyche says he ran down James Tarkowski.
Who did? Like his life depended on it.
That was
James.
Jackie Harrison, yeah, for the first goal.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Let's talk about the goals then, run through those. And we'll come back to the defence because that was Llorente and Cox's first game together. Zach points this out. We'll come to that. I've written it down. We'll come to that in a minute. In terms of the goals then, nice work. And I thought we did that really, really well all game. The closing down and forcing them backwards. Forshaw was at it. I thought Jackie did a lot of work. And even Tyler Roberts, you know, God love him. He did a lot of good work in that first half, away from the finishing side of things. He was putting in the yards, wasn't he?
That's the frustration with him. People will look at the finishing and quite rightly say, like, it needs to improve. But
look at Rafinha's finishing with an open goal.
I would look at Rafinha's goals and assists this year and go, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Good job they play for the same team and are probably close, loving friends.
Exactly.
So we don't have to pit them against each other.
But no, Jackie was good. I thought he was a bit unlucky to be taken off, actually, because I thought he was having one of his better games this season.
Mm. But then Daniel James, you wanted us to talk about the first goal, but we'll talk about the third. Daniel James.
Target man.
Rising like Lee Chapman at the back post. And I would seriously, the body
the head
shape,
was Gary Kelly height, wasn't it?
But there's no real choice when it's... It would have been Gary Kelly height if Daniel James wasn't leaping for it as he has to do for any ball above 6 inches. His body shape and the way he heads the ball back across goal, if you freeze the video and took a screenshot and then you elongated, you stretch Daniel James, it's Lee Chapman. So it's good. And it was also great that it took so long to go in. Mm. I think that just made it much, much sweeter, the pause. As everybody watched to see whether it was going in or not.
There was a long enough pause with Dallas's as well. God, there was just that half second of intake of breath when it went silent. Everyone went...
I think some people in the south stand had spotted that before, basically as soon as it had left his foot and was on the way, there was cheering behind the goal because they had the absolute perfect spot for that one. And that was a very good goal. A corner routine.
Little Joffy as well, getting himself involved. And that short corner, yeah, it did work, didn't it? Because they took it quick. Unbalance the opponent, things like that. I'm just looking at comments from Jack.
And we haven't done the first goal.
Talking about James's one, he says, you may not have seen it, but Bielsa's reaction to James's goal was beautiful and emotional, and it made me feel for the first time in a long time.
He's had a big...
Nice Christmas then, Jack.
He's had a big cuddle with, I think it's Carragher on the coaching staff, that they've just gone in for an embrace and stayed there. Oh, which, if Bielsa...
Like Sting, Sting in his tantric celebrations.
Tantric hug. But Jackie's goal made it, worked for it, two attempts. I always used to like this about Max Gradle whenever he tried to beat a player. He'd just stand in front of them and kick the ball at their legs until it eventually bounced to the other side. And it was kind of like that with Jackie, where he just had the ball in the box. I'm just going to keep shooting until this goes in. The number of times that I suppose you're supposed to call it turning over possession But I prefer to think of it as just nicking the ball off of those slow pokes in their half or any time they tried to get over the halfway line. I think the last 10 minutes of the first half, they just couldn't get out. And when that happens, you know Leeds are playing well.
Yeah, you've got them on the back foot, haven't you? I thought as well, if you look at it from the other direction as well, because they were trying to press us really, really high, the number of times when there was a little bit of frustration in the crowd. I thought when Melier was kind of, he was looking to bowl it out and then he'd stop and then he'd look to bowl it out again and then stop. Mm. And probably just part of the underlying tension about the situation that we find ourselves in.
I think as a crowd this year, we're a bit more worried about that. I think in the Championship, we got really used to seeing us play out from the back. And I feel like there is a little bit of tension now, maybe because we're not having such a good season. So we've seen it go wrong several times, but there is a bit of a, oh God, like when we're just
get it forward.
Well, there is a little bit of that, which we more or less got rid of in the Championship because we saw it working every week and we saw loads of goals where we played it out from the back and we'd have it in the net at the other end within 15 seconds. But I guess because we've not had that, there is a little bit of fear there.
I've just seen it. I don't know if this is true, by the way. Sorry, I just need to draw this to your attention. Jack is saying, Dallas's post-match comment, we showed great bottle today.
Yes.
We showed great bottle today.
Oh, okay.
We
threw great bottle.
Yes. I don't know if that's true or not. I hope so.
The faffing about the back thing, though, was needed once Burnley had two up front because it's our little way of, you've got to pass around the front two. So it was Cock and Llorente and Melier kind of sorting that out. And then you've got two players behind you and you're only attacking eight outfield players and then the goalkeeper up front. So it sort of became a part of the system, but it is nerve wracking when you've got Robin Cock. It's kind of just cutting the ball inside Chris Wood in our penalty area and think, but Chris Wood's actually, don't give him the ball. Mm. But I think it worked more times than it didn't. And certainly they didn't get a goal or anything from it. And we were a lot sharper, I felt, certainly in the first half, our speed on counter-attacks and that kind of thing. There was much more of a sense of, instead of running with the ball into their half and then finding somebody, it was winning the ball in our half and then just ping it for Rafinha. Mm. Don't even worry about any sort of intricacy, just let Rafinha run past Charlie Taylor. Whereas a lot of the time we've dawdled at times this season, I think, where it's been more of a, we'll take a slow build up and then we'll try and give it to Rafinha, from the edge of their penalty area. So that was good.
Yeah, I think we've seen this season us getting closed down. It's a theme we've returned to, in the fullback positions and not being able to do those little, not being able to beat the press properly because we're playing against loads of dead good teams and it's annoying and unfair. I thought we handled it quite well today and we did manage to beat it more times than not. It was a good display doing that. Even with that creeping sense of nervousness that was kind of just that undercurrent of it all until we got 3-1 in front, and that the cheer was such like a cheer of relief, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I was incredibly tense up to that point because I started my little stopwatch on my phone.
I did this
so
time.
I could keep track of the injury time.
I don't think there's plenty of counting going on in the crowd. You didn't need the stopwatch.
I did stop it. I thought I hadn't stopped it.
Yeah, I mean, they're time wasting. We should probably touch on that as well. That, why can you not get booked for time wasting in the first half? It's like referees just will refuse to do it. But they were taking forever over every single goal kick.
And then suddenly Tierney wants to hurry us along when we're in front.
Last 10 minutes, you're not allowed to time waste if you're winning. If you're drawing in a first half, take as long as you want. Absolutely no rules on it.
It's so blatant as well when you could see when it was, when they went back to 1-1, suddenly everything
slowed down again.
But do you know what they got for their time wasting?
Tell me, Michael.
Fuck off.
They got a bottle in the face.
Just on
metaphorical
the
as well as literal.
Charlie's in the comments on YouTube saying that Deitch has said, it's very disappointing.
Sorry.
It's very disappointing.
But I don't want to keep going on about it. Because the crowd was magnificent
because
today.
One
let themselves down. There you go.
Deitch is going to hunt that one down, isn't he?
But I really hope the sack Deitch.
Don't let them rest.
It's kind of my ambition for Burnley this season is that their daft American owners sack him.
Aren't they turning him into an NFT? Isn't that Burnley's latest plan?
They'll employ an NFT in his place. It'll be John Terry's NFT.
I'm going to buy a JPEG of Sean Deitch on the blockchain. Maybe it'll have to be a WAV, though, wouldn't it? It'd be a WAV file.
Get a floppy disk of Sean Deitch.
Or 1.44 megabytes of it, eh? Talking about the defence then, Llorente and Cox first game together today, was it? That's been mentioned in the comments. I'm not researching it.
Let's assume it's true.
I think it's possibly the third time they've been on the pitch together. I don't know what combination they've been in because quite often we've played Koch as in the Calvin role. where I wondered if he would be, but that was me imagining Struyck would be back. I'd kind of, because Bielsa a while ago bigged up Cork as a potential DM. He said he has the potential. He could be an excellent DM. So that made me think he'll probably put him there instead of Struyck. But Struyck ain't there, so it was for sure he was fine. But yeah, they look great. And it's about time, really, we, you know, through no fault of their own, really, we've not really had the value of those transfers from last summer. And so watching Cork in particular today, had that feeling of, well, if this is what he's like when he's fit, then he can play for us for the next 5 years. That's fine. We've got a really good defender there. And then Llorente and Cooper can kind of age out, and Charlie Creswell will come back in with whatever's left of his arms.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
On the time wasting, by the way, TT1362, again, another catchy name in the comments, mentioning the time wasting. I say it says countdown here, but it was a count up of how many seconds it was taking them to do everything. 15, 16, 17.
It should be a recurring theme. It'd be a good idea because refs need reminding, I think. But what's that about? Oh, okay.
Draw attention to it.
Yeah, if they won't put a clock installed like the match clock idea, we'll just do it for them.
By the way, that's a good chance to plug the extra ball as well on the rule changes released. Yeah, so if you are an extra ball subscriber, you like that. We did some preposterous ones, but that was one of them, wasn't it? It was introduce a shot clock. Tinker the shape of the area as well. But speaking of refs.
On the plus side.
No VAR today.
That was good.
Mike Dean as well was the VAR.
I still always half expect it whenever a goal goes in. Like the joy of the Dan James thing, he's just expecting him to go, oh, we're going to need to look at an offside or something. But
Geoffrey Gelhart is like, he's a walking invitation to VAR, isn't he? Or rather, he's a dribbling invitation to VAR. Mm. I think there's a lot of that in his future of just frustrated defenders moaning, I never even touched him, while somebody looks for a minor infraction on a TV screen and we get 10 penalties for another, one foul.
Another assist for him today.
Great. I mean,
he's got a huge amount of goal contributions or whatever they're called now, hasn't he?
For someone who's say pressure.
No, for someone who's barely been on the pitch, though, he's got one penalty, he's got a goal, got an assist.
And a huge amount of pressure. Which, remember when we said like the standing ovation for him coming on at Fulham, and we're like, is this maybe a bit much today?
The cheer, again? That roar, bloody hell.
Like, yeah, it's...
he's dead good.
When he ran back.
And he's taken it.
When Bielsa called him back.
Yeah.
Joffy, come here. What's Spanish for here?
I
was going to say EC, but that's French. Come here.
Maybe.
Yeah, whatever.
Maybe.
come here. That.
Bielsa will have learnt the word for come here, sure.
Get out. Come here. Everybody realised what was happening. There was just that kind of
and a single tear down Tyler Roberts' cheek.
But people made sure when he got off, when it was announced, when Lee, the stadium announcer, announced that, everyone gave him, you know, the polite applause. But then there was that subsequent roar when he ran on his little cherubby cheeks.
Do you know what, though? It's great to have a sub like that. Mm. I remember going back to the days of like Alan Smith when he used to come on as a sub. I know it's no name we're not allowed to talk about now, but there was genuine excitement when he came on and people were like, whoa, he's going to score. He always scores.
Well,
when
he didn't
score
that many, did he?
But he did at first. When we first started bringing him on, he was like, he was the person who would change games and he would score goals.
And then when he was playing right midfield, you're like, get him off.
But it's
get
great.
Fowler on.
It's just good to have someone who actually gives us an option. And admittedly, it's an option we should maybe take from the start of games rather than when someone gets injured?
Just takes the pressure.
Aaron's answered the question, by the way. It's a key. Yeah.
There you go.
Should have known that. We just lost my head in the excitement of winning.
I got it right. Can I have some credit?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
Absolutely none.
He takes the pressure on himself, though, doesn't he? Quite well, does Gellhart. I worry about him more than I think he worries about himself.
He absolutely loves it, doesn't he?
Well, that was what Phil Hayes said before, that when he's spoken to people who've worked with Gellhart, that basically he's never had any setbacks and nothing really bothers him.
Welcome to Leeds.
if a club's going to test you.
Yeah.
Well, Timothy is in the comments saying he's got impudent cheeks, which I like.
He has. He did another... did someone describe him as a wizard rat for his chest pass the other week? He didn't quite get there, did it, this time?
Tried a couple,
didn't he? No, Rafinha did a good chest pass in the first half under pressure. And we shouldn't discount Click setting that goal up. I know it was Gellhart's cross, but he did some really good skill.
He was good today, was Click.
He was. He's still got that thing where every third pass is kind of over hit or under hit. But... that happens, and that was kind of the one Roberts' chance in the second half when he slipped was a Click pass that if it had been in front of him, he was going to run on and stroke it probably into the south stand. But as it was, it just went
changed.
It just went a little bit behind him, and so he had to
take a touch and put it into the south.
Well, he needed to just fall over, as it turned out.
Oh, was that the one? I was thinking of the one where he. There was one where he sort of checked back and put it into the south.
Was that where he fell over and then went off injured? Was that the same?
I don't know if that injured him, but yeah, that was another. That's one I often look at Click in those situations. I'm like, you were 6 inches out, and that's why it's important then to highlight how good he was for the goal at the end. And did he set up? Who passed it to Dallas for the goal for the second?
He was
goal?
Involved. Was that the short corner?
It was Rafinha's corner to Click, wasn't it?
Yeah,
and then I think it was him that squared it.
Well, that's what I was talking about. So yes. You could have just said yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So let's talk about the crowd then. We mentioned it there. I looked around and I thought, walking in, these early Sunday kickoffs, and I know we've all been confused by the days and the new year and all that and the break, but even still, Sunday early kickoff never feels right. Against Brentford, it felt a lot flatter when we played Brentford in the same time slot. And I was a little bit worried, particularly because it seemed like the ground filled up quite late. But I thought the atmosphere was excellent today again. Absolutely bouncing by the end.
There were some nervous bits.
Yeah,
I felt, but yeah, overall it's been good all year. We keep saying it. It's been. I think we are the best fans in the league, in my completely unbiased opinion. So no, it was good. I think when their goal went in, there was a little bit of a oh shit kind of a, because they came out in the second half, and actually while we were better for the vast majority of that game, there was a section of 10-15 minutes at the start of that first second half where there was a. I think there was a little bit of panic that they were getting on top again.
Where's that momentum graph? Is it Info Goal who do the momentum graph?
No, it's SofaScore.
SofaScore. I'm going to look at that while you talk. Talk about that more.
But yeah, overall, I thought the crowd was great, and the atmosphere at the end. I think it was. There's nothing quite like actually getting to celebrate goals after you've seen away fans celebrate goals as well. It really adds something to it, because you've seen them kind of giving it the big one for 20 minutes or whatever it was, and then you get to go have some of this back.
And they were giving it the big one about a draw as well, and that was the other point about Burnley bringing the time wasting back in at 1-1. Like, all they want is a point, and I mean imagine that was your life
given their record this season,
and you live in Burnley.
Does Sean Dyche need to change his methods? People said it about Bielsa, didn't they?
Naive, wasn't it?
I thought. I'm just looking at the...
the naive time was, I mean, how many points have they got? They've got 11 points from 17 games.
How many games.
Games
have they won?
One win, eight draws.
It's not many, is it?
It's not.
No.
They need to change it. He should try playing zippy attacking football from the back.
Yeah. Just looking at the momentum graph, first half.
Who in that team?
They basically had the first 15 minutes quite heavily in their favour. Then we just absolutely tonked them for the remainder of the first half. And then second half, similar sort of story, really. They had the opening 15, but not quite as dangerous as the first half.
The opening 15 of the first half didn't feel dangerous to me, though. Mm. It felt like they had the ball a fair bit.
We just couldn't get on it, could we?
That we kept giving it to them. Yeah. We had, I think it was like, we gave the ball about 8 times in the first 10 minutes. Mm. And there were some easy passes as well where we just... It was worrying at that point, because it felt like a bit like we'd come back with the bad leads that was getting tonked. Just because we just kept giving them the ball, but they did, they grew into it, and everybody's game did seem to lift after that 10-minute mark. It doesn't mean Burnley were good.
No, just looking
at 10 minutes.
Look at the remainder of the
giving
graph.
Giving them a chance.
Remainder of the graph, it's the same story again. We got in the ascendancy for the remainder of the second half, barring a couple of shortish spells that they had, but a well-deserved win. Well-deserved win.
We don't even mention Forshaw yet either, who I thought was...
Yeah, he was superb, wasn't he?
Brilliant, again. He's just really good every week, and every week I kind of expect him to break down, which is probably unfair. Are we at the stage yet? I shouldn't say this, should I? Let's not.
Well, he took a... There was a heavy tackle on him today, and he got up, and he was fine. Quite enjoyed as well who shoved Ayling over. I think it was Tarkowski, and Ayling went down as if he'd been... obliterated, and then the camera zooms in on him and he looks up and he's laughing and he grins at whoever it is, and so he's like,
absolutely,
I'm just messing with you.
Absolutely bought it.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the metrics from the game, actually, the stats, 55-45 possession, and we've won on every other count except goalkeeper saves.
It was Charlie Taylor. He was messing with the head off. That's what that was. So that made it even sweeter.
They did have a crossover season, didn't they? Yeah, Monk.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was. I like that when they're having a laugh with mates.
Hey, we won
Dan
on
James.
We won on fouls, by the way, 11-7. Just looking at the stats.
I can't remember if it was Cornet's leg, but Dan James at some point got into a tangle with somebody off the ball and then just grabbed a leg and they just held them there and was like, no, you're helping me up, when actually he was like pulling his leg down. And he was just, even the Burnley player was like, this is funny, isn't it? We're having a laugh. So it was all great. And I kind of... I enjoy things when things like that happen. Well, just silly boys running about, isn't it? Crashing into each other, kicking a ball.
Lads, I'm going to shock you now.
Go on.
Number of long balls, 29 out of 70 of our passes were long balls. That's 41%. Of theirs, 30 out of 80, 38%. Yeah. I don't know if that's completed or what, but...
I'm going to do what Dyche would do and say, well, who won the game?
I was with you on some of the un-Burnley-ness, because I thought there was a little bit more of just kind of putting the ball into the centre circle and passing it to each other. Because I think they've noticed that thing that we always say, that there's that big donut, is how Leeds play, and we just use the middle of the pitch to run through and pass through.
But even so when they did it, they didn't, but nothing happened with it.
Because they're shit. Yeah, really shit, and they're going down at last.
We might never play them again.
That'd be fun, wouldn't it? I was going to say, you know, like, have you ever seen Burnley Bingo? Ever seen Burnley Bingo? It's when other teams comment on how Burnley play and say, imagine watching that every week, et cetera, et cetera, which is an absolutely fair criticism because it's awful. And they call it out and go, oh, you see, you're talking about us again, rent-free, et cetera, all that bullshit. And I wouldn't want to watch that every week because it is shit. And you're lost and you're losing and you're going down as it stands at the minute, unfortunately for you. So, you know, bring that out all you want. But the stuff they're being served up is shite, isn't it? And they might say, oh, we're making the best out of the players that we've got. It doesn't have to be like that. As Cornet proves, I mean, all joking apart, he's a tidy footballer, so I don't know why he's gone there.
It is a weird transfer, I have to say. I can only imagine he's been promised it's not like Burnley. They must have shown him, he must have watched some videos and they've gone, no, it's not. That's different now. We've got a different manager, and they've just had someone other than Sean Dyche do
Jimmy Arfield's Burnley from the 1970s. The making the best of the players you've got thing also does a complete disservice to the good players they've got. Leeds have made the best of the players they've got because Stuart Dallas, Luke Ayling, Liam Cooper, however many others, really have no right to be this as high up in the Premier League as they got last season if you looked at them under Paul Heckingbottom. And that's what you do, is you come in and you say, you bunch, I believe in you all, and we're going to go in the Premier League, not to come in. And how long's Dyche been at Burnley anyway, for like 50 years, just to every summer come back for pre-season. I guess you're all still shit then, are you? Right, 4-4-2, bang it up to Chris Wood, because I don't trust you to do anything better than that ever. Whereas it could be, I'm sure Bielsa would go to Burnley and he'd turn them into Leeds.
I don't think he would. It's in Burnley, isn't it? It was interesting that their second half tactic, you know, like we were talking about the shift in marking and players and whatever, the second half tactic was also to bang it up to Wood, but to have Cornet running off him initially, and then he switched him to the left, didn't he, after that at some point? So initially, like, I think he put Lennon was up front with him, running off him, and then when Cornet came on, he started up against Firpo, sort of over on this side, and also sort of half centre forward. But that was the only change they made to their tactics, was still bang it up to Chris Wood, but give it to another man to knock it down to.
Yeah, well, they took Wood off, didn't they? It was the sort of the Leeds United strike partnership that never was. The Chris Vidra. Wood, Chris Wood and Vidra sub, wasn't it?
Yeah, people like booing him off as well. And then Vidra came up, oh, we've got to boo him as well.
Boo him too.
Because he turned
Why did we not sign Vidra? Was it, we didn't like his attitude or something?
We were beneath him, I think, because he wanted to hang on and see who else was available coming for him, and his choice was Burnley.
And if you remember, he also did that big setup where he arranged for himself to be photographed in City Square. Came and like hung out there and made sure that was online when he didn't have any meetings with Leeds. He just, I don't know if it's absolutely 100% this is how it happened, but as if he'd got off the train, got a photo in Leeds, got back on the train just to wind everybody up. And it was all, don't bother. And that's the window we got Bamford instead, isn't it?
Yes, it will be, yeah, we signed Bamford instead. Yeah.
Probably for the best. It's all turned out quite well.
Just as we're recording now to timestamp it, Chelsea are losing again, 2-0 at home to Liverpool. I think Mason Mount's been sent off.
If we need a new striker now, Roberts is injured. Lukaku on loan seems to be available.
They paid nearly 100 million in summer, didn't they? We could offer six.
Why offer them anything? They don't want him.
Should we put in a £6 million bid?
Don't
fax
offer
it across.
Don't offer them anything. If they're gonna leave him out because of what he says in interviews, they obviously don't want him now. So we'll just have him.
Okay.
Just tell
they
them.
Always
they can for, pay. They can pay his wages too because they'll be too high.
Oh yeah, we're not paying a penny towards it. It's their mistake. We're seeking to profit from it.
Yeah, I'd take him as a sub though only.
Until Roberts is.
They
back
could
fit.
Get if they need to get rid of Tuchel, they need someone who knows the club, don't they? Like Frank Lampard, get him back in. That's what I say.
Yeah. See, Deitch is like the crowd anyway, so that's nice. He's old school, isn't he? He's Deitch. With football rooted in the '80s, our atmosphere rooted in the '80s.
More bottles. That's why he was disappointed. Should have been more. Where were the darts? That's what Sean Dyche was complaining about.
And the transfer window's open now. Then we'll wrap it up on that point. But as Angus points out in his notes today in the programme,
I've not seen him actually.
How do we phrase it? Well, let me read what he's put.
It's the party line.
Yeah, naturally, yeah. Supporters will be looking.
Not party line as in 0898.
Yeah, yeah.
121 Kinnear. Although I might ring that.
Naturally, supporters will be looking to the January window for reasons to be optimistic. Under the custodianship of Andrea and the 49ers, we have never failed to demonstrate our commitment to strengthen the squad in every window. However, we should not underestimate the challenge of securing targets who can meet Marcelo's exacting standards and have the immediate impact that is required this season.
It's just the same as we always say, and I think it would have been more surprising if we'd have opened up the programme today and he'd said, we're spending 25 million, don't tell anybody, but it's happening. That's... You know, it's exactly what
I think some people do want that, hear. Do want
and
that, though.
And after a win, you can read that and you can be like, well, okay. If we would have lost today, it would have been more like, well, just buy some
excuses.
People.
Yeah.
Just go to available. I'm sure you've got a computer system, a centralized one like Football Manager. You can just look for someone with good passing
get
and
on
buy
group,
them.
Get on Groupon or something as well. Because it's January, isn't it? There's going to be vouchers available for.
It's true. No, it's true.
I bet you're a big user of Groupon, aren't you?
The deals are often not as good as.
Voucher?
No. They're just trying to entice you to buy stuff you don't need, much like the January transfer window does. So,
are you saying we don't need players?
I'd like us to sign a couple, ideally.
How many and who?
Two central midfielders. That'll do.
Fine.
I don't know of any good ones, unfortunately, but I'm sure Victor's got some.
Well, all round then a good day, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Happy day. On his emotional reaction to today's win, I don't ignore the situation that we're in. I don't ignore what my responsibilities are. That can't not influence my state of mood.
Do you want to feel even happier? Shrewsbury. Beat Sheffield Wednesday 1-0 today, says Zach. A goal from Leeds legend Matthew Pennington.
That's where he is.
Does it get any better than that?
Wow.
You immediately bring to mind Thomas Christiansen saying, you see Pennington? Second half? You like?
Did he say that?
Yeah. And then he got sacked about 2 weeks later. It's the same as when he did, everyone says... Sign a striker today. Lasoga, 2 goals.
tap.
Yeah, happy day then. So we will come back and we will do Burnley propaganda. The man with the teardrop tattoos will no doubt have something to say about
if he's,
that.
Still has his freedom, yes.
Yeah.
If not him, then another one. I'm sure you can find.
We'll find somebody. And apparently,
a relative of his, perhaps.
Somebody has tweeted as pointing out this. One of those is it a Twitter space or whatever it is where people all go on and join like a private little circle jerk or whatever, and then all chat about stuff. There's a Burnley Depression one, apparently. Hopefully someone's recorded it for us and we'll play the highlights of that on Propaganda. So we're back with Propaganda where we react to the match ball, to the game. Let us know what you thought if you're a TSB Plus subscriber. Main weekly show returns this week as well. Phil Hayes show as well. If Phil can be asked to drag himself across here from York. I feel like I'm back to normal.
I feel like we've not spoken about Dallas. Scored a good goal.
Oh, yeah.
On his 250th appearance.
Who? Was that 250?
Yeah, wow. I think so.
Impressive. Yeah, he was brilliant today.
He was. And I would also want to... big up Dan James for the cross as soon as he came on. If
the one
Wayne
just missed everyone, was it that one?
No, if Wayne Hennessy caught it, and Gelhardt was sliding into finish, it would have been, it's one, you know, it's good goalkeeping, but it was a great cross.
Was it Wayne Hennessy who was caught doing what looked like to be a Nazi salute?
That's the man.
On the photo, and then said he didn't know who Hitler was.
Never heard of them. It's not like the press mentioned the Second World War every single day of your life.
He's the Masked Singer. No.
But yeah, Dan James, I didn't think Jackie was bad today. And, you know, I've always been a Jackie Harry fan, I was going to say. And but then when James came on second half, him and Joffy, maybe it's, you know, a height thing that they can see each other right to eye because we're on a level.
Sorry, we just had a message on the YouTube comments just before we wrap it up from Dave Garrod, who says, thanks, fellas, even you, Michael.
But, I know him as well.
Yeah,
that's an absolute.
absolutely brilliant put down.
It was Stuart Ellis's 250th appearance today, and it was a great goal and three good goals. I think even Jackie's, just for the pure effort involved in him absolutely forcing that ball over the line.
He threaded it through a needle as well. Like, I have a needle. It was a very narrow corridor.
I think he was just booing it.
Corridor of opportunity.
Time. Yeah, I'm determined to get this in.
Listen, been listening to Michael, hasn't he? Kicking it dead hard.
Kick it dead hard. Towards the goal. You never know what'll happen. Did it twice.
And then if Daniel James head it dead soft towards the goal, and you never know your luck.
Right, let's wrap it up there then. We will return this week with all the usual shows. So thank you for watching and thank you for listening. And we will see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.